Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word of faith. Thank God for the power in his word. Hallelujah. God's word is able to change our lives. God's word is able to bring about the transformation. God's word is powerful. Hallelujah. I welcome you to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 69. And then we've been studying metaphors for salvation, sanctification, you know, and then I've been emphasizing the place of our walk in sanctification, the place of us setting ourselves apart unto God. Glory to Jesus. Having been set apart by Christ Jesus in his sacrifice, having been set apart by Christ Jesus by his death and resurrection, there's a call, there's a demand on our lives to be consecrated and be fully devoted to the Lord. Hallelujah. So there's the place of our consecration. And then we've been able to see how our consecration is not about outward forms of godliness. It is not about picking up any code of conduct at all that seems to be appealing or that seems to be morally acceptable. It's about a specific lifestyle. It's a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's a walk in the Spirit. So I've been emphasizing the place of walking in the Spirit as I walk in sanctification. The man that walks in the Spirit is the man that is walking in sanctification in Christ Jesus. I also clarified that the flesh that the believer needs to resist is not merely speaking of his body. Glory to Jesus. The flesh is not merely speaking about the body. The flesh we are to resist is about the influence of the world around us. Hallelujah. And this influence could come in different ways. We're going to see one today. We're going to clarify the context of Galatians 5, you know, what Bible refers to as flesh at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 17. We're also going to see Romans chapter 8, glory to Jesus, because the flesh, the influence of the world is not always about the world trying to seduce you by, you know, outright lustful things. No, the influence of the world could come in different ways. Glory to Jesus. So we're going to see the context of Galatians 5 and Romans 8 today. Glory to God. But then, I emphasize that you can serve God with your body. That is, you can yield your body to the service of God. And that's a proof or a pointer to the fact that your body is not the flesh Bible says you must resist. Hallelujah. I said that the body is a faculty through which the activities of the flesh, of the spirit, can find expression. So the body has no particular value of its own. The body can be yielded to anything. The body can serve anything. Glory to Jesus. And I also said that means the mind is more powerful than the body, because it is the mind that determines the activities of the body. It is the mind that determines what the body would submit to. It is the mind that determines what direction the body would move. Glory to Jesus. So your body is not your major problem. And we saw this clearly in scriptures, how the Bible refers to our body as the temple of God. Bible even says we should glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. So God owns your body, he owns your spirit. So our bodies, physical, natural bodies, are not the major problems we have. The problem is more about the world we live in. Glory to Jesus. And the influences of the world we live in. So that's why the instruction is not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So conformity to the world is the reason why a believer is going to walk in lust. Let's see 1 John again. I showed you yesterday how that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not in the believer. It's not a part and parcel of the believer's nature or life. Glory to Jesus. Those things are in the world. So the believer that is walking or dwelling in lust is the believer that is exposing his mind to the influences of the world, full of lust and pride. Glory to Jesus. 1 John chapter 2. Are you still here? 1 John chapter 2. Look at this quickly from verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Because the love of the Father is not in the world, the man that loves the world cannot find the love of the Father in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they are not of the Father. Those are the things you find in the world. So if you carelessly expose yourself to the world, if you recklessly abandon yourself to the things of the world and to the influences in the world, and you follow just every trend, and you follow just every person, every personality, and you follow every opinion, and you receive, directions and instructions and influences in the world without any form of discernment, you are in trouble. As a Christian, you would end up picking the lifestyle of the world. You'd end up being influenced by the lust that is in the world. Glory to Jesus. Many believers today are living like unbelievers because they have let down their guard. They are receiving the influence of the world without any sense of caution or discernment. Hallelujah. We are meant to be careful in the way we deal in the world. Glory to Jesus. We must be careful because the world is full of lust. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, the Bible says, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. The Bible says that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have escaped the corruption in the world. We have escaped the lust that is in the world because we have been called out of the world. Hallelujah. We've been delivered from the world. We've been rescued from the world. We've been saved from the world and the curse of this age. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. From verse 1, Bible says, and you made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, according to others. So you see that before he mentions the lust which we conducted ourselves in, he mentions how that we lived and walked according to the course of this world. Have you seen? The world, that's where the lust is. So we lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according, hallelujah, it's in according to a particular course. And he speaks of it as the course of this world. So because that's where the lust is. So the believer, for having been called out of the world and delivered from the world, has been delivered from the lust that is in the world. Praise God. So as he takes a purposeful gaze into the word of God, what he finds is the fruit of the Spirit. That is his real conduct. That is his new character. That is his new lifestyle. Those things begin to surface. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit begins to surface, begins to find expression through his life, through him, as he meditates, as he gives himself wholly to the word of God. Hallelujah. So, a walk in the Spirit is a sanctification, and that walk in the Spirit would come only as we renew our mind to the word of God, and we separate ourselves from the influences in the world. Hallelujah. And the body of every believer is not sinful. Your body is not sinful. Your body is not of sin. Hallelujah. Your body is not sinful. If your body were to be sinful, then you cannot yield your body to God as instrument of righteousness. Glory to Jesus. So let's start from Romans 6. Our bodies can be submitted to God. That is why your body is not your major problem. In your sanctification, what you must watch out for is the influences of the world around you. You must guard your heart. Hallelujah. You must guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You must learn to guard your heart. The world around you is satanic. The world around you is demonic. Bible speaks about the spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience. Glory to Jesus. The spirit at work in the sons of disobedience. So, there's a spirit at work in the world. There's a motivation behind everything done in the world. You can't afford to be naive and just undiscerning. And then you just expose your mind to everything in the world, every influence in the world. There's a spirit at work in the world that promotes a particular motivation. And those motivations are the things listed in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those are the motivations. Everything that appeals to the flesh, everything that gratifies the flesh, everything that gratifies human pride and ego. So you can't afford to just open your mind to the influences in the world, to submit or subject your mind to the influences of the world, because you know that there's a principle at work in the world. Glory to Jesus. So your body is not the major problem. The world is. The flesh that Bible says opposes the spirit we now carry in Christ Jesus is not merely speaking about your body. It's about the influence of the world around you. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 20. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 20. See how Paul expresses this profound truth at Romans 6, 12 to 20. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body, so you can prevent sin from reigning in your mortal body. Hallelujah. So that means your mortal body is not the sin. Your mortal body is not sin in itself. That's why you can prevent sin from reigning in your mortal body. Now, you can't prevent sin from reigning in the flesh or from reigning in the world. Sin dominates the world. Sin is in the flesh. Hallelujah. You are going to see a very sharp contrast between the use of the body and the flesh very soon. So you can prevent sin from reigning in your mortal body, because your mortal body belongs to God. It's been bought with a price. Hallelujah. Though your body is still mortal, it is not sin in itself. But it can serve the lust of the flesh. It can serve the influences of the world if you submit your mind to those things. So you see that the major thing to focus on is the mind. Once your mind is intact, your body will be fine. Hallelujah. Your body will carry out the instructions that it receives from your mind. And if your mind is subject to the word of God, then what your mind will instruct your body to do will be in accordance to the truth, in accordance to the word of God, in accordance to godliness, in accordance to the things of the spirit. But if your mind is subject or submitted to the influences of the world, then your mind will begin to instruct your body to carry out the will of the flesh. Glory to Jesus. Romans 6, look at verse 13. Bible says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Have you seen? So it means we can present our members. Our members here speaks of our bodies. We can present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. We can also choose to present our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Have you seen? So you can present your body to serve anything. Your body is just there. It has no value of its own. Your body is not the problem. Your body is neither sin nor righteousness. It is just a vessel. Hallelujah. Your body is just a vessel. And it will serve anything you instruct it to serve. It will serve anything you carry it into. It will serve anything you lead it into. Hallelujah. By the state of your mind. Look at verse 14. Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. Verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the earth that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Look at verse 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So it means you can present your members as slaves of righteousness to holiness. Glory to Jesus. Slaves of righteousness to holiness. Look at this now. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to point out something to you at Ephesians chapter 2. I'll come back to Romans 6. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, look at this. Bible says, from verse 1 again, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now works in sons of disobedience, among whom we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling what? The desires of the flesh and of the mind. Praise God. Have you seen? The mind. Because your body would only carry out the will of your mind. Your body would only serve the state of your mind. So the mind is the major thing. So while the word flesh can be employed to describe the body, there's a sense in which the word flesh is not referring to the body at all. It's referring to the influences in the world. Hallelujah. Referring to the world around you and the influence of the world around you. So Romans chapter 6 again, verse 20, Bible says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." So we can now present our bodies to serve God. We can yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness. Hallelujah. I mean, that's the reason why Bible says to lift up holy hands. Imagine, it's referring to your physical hands. Your physical hands are holy hands. So you can't say your body is sin, your body is sinful, yet Bible says to lift up your holy hands. Because this body has been dedicated to God. Because the Holy Ghost dwells in you, your body has become the temple of God. It has been set apart to God. It is not like every other person's body. This body houses and carries the Spirit of God, and your hands are holy hands. You can lift them up to bless God. Hallelujah. Your hands can heal the sick. So there's a change. Hallelujah. So your body is not the problem. The world around you is. And if you must live in sanctification, walk in sanctification, you must make up your mind to be separate from the world and its influences. You must make up your mind to make sure the world does not influence you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that dominates it. Hallelujah. That's the principle in the world. That's the motivation in the world. You must shut your mind to those worldly influences if you must walk in sanctification. Glory to Jesus. Now, so Bible says we can present our bodies, right? Verse 13, Romans 6, 13. Romans 6, 19, we can present our bodies to God. At 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at this. We are in the body. We are not in the world, but we are not of the world, rather, but we are in the body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, glory to Jesus. Speaking about the promise of the immortal body that we expect. At 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 1, Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but for that clothes, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Now, the sixth point of emphasis. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are what? While we are at home in the body. So we are in the body. Now, see, we are in the body. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 affirms this. It affirms this. We are in the body. Romans chapter 6, 13 and 19 says, we can present our members, our bodies, as instruments of righteousness unto God. But see a sharp contrast. Romans chapter 8. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 to 9. See a very sharp contrast. We're in the body. We can present our bodies to serve God. But a sharp contrast is found at Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Romans 8, from verse 6 to 9. Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor it indeed can be." Verse 8. "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It doesn't say you can yield. They can yield themselves to God as instruments. No, it says they cannot please God. It's impossible. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Even though the Spirit of God dwells in you." So he says we're in the body at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the same author, the same writer, Paul. At 2 Corinthians 5, 6 says we are in the body. At Romans chapter 8, verse 9, he says you are not in the flesh. Because the body and the flesh in this context are not the same things. Hallelujah. There's more to the use of the word flesh than, you know, than it being used for your physical mortal body. The flesh is a principle in the world. Hallelujah. The flesh speaks of the influence of the world. The flesh speaks of the influence of the... And that's why Bible says we are not in the flesh. Though we are in the body, we are not in the flesh. And it says those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Hallelujah. They cannot please God. There's nothing you can do about it. They can't submit to God. He says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot be subject to the law of God. Neither can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Hallelujah. This cannot be descriptive of the believer. You don't have such faculty that cannot submit to God, that cannot submit to the will of God. Every part of you can do the will of the Father. Every part of you can submit to God. Every part of you. So you can even put your body under, subject it to the influence of the Spirit. But he says the flesh can never bow to God. It can never be subject to God. Because the flesh, in this context, is not referring to your physical body. Glory be to God. In fact, look at the context of Romans 8. What it calls the flesh and Romans 8. From Romans chapter 7, from verse 1 to 6. See the context? Romans 7, 1 to 6. Bible says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, have you seen that? When we were in the flesh, we are no longer in the flesh. When we were in the flesh, this is not about the body. This is beyond the body. When we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So the flesh here speaks of the old life. Hallelujah. Speaks of the old life subject to the law. Glory to Jesus. When we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law. So when we were still in the world, when we were still of the world, glory to Jesus, when we were yet unrenewed, when we were yet unregenerate. So the flesh is not just about your body, it's about the old man, glory to Jesus. It's about the old man and the influence of the law, glory to Jesus. That's why the Old Testament was referred to as the fleshly commandments. Fleshly commandments. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15 to 16. Look at this carefully. The Old Testament is referred to as fleshly commandments. Fleshly. See the use of the word fleshly. Hallelujah. Fleshly. Carnal. Hebrews chapter 7. Glory to God. Hebrews 7 from verse 15 to 16. Look at this now. Hebrews 7, 15 to 16. Bible says, And it is yet far more evident, if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come according to the law, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. The fleshly commandment there speaks of the old covenant. Hallelujah. And then it refers to this, the Old Testament, as containing fleshly ordinances. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10. Glory to God. Bible says, concerned only with food and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. You know, and Paul uses the word fleshly also to describe worldly wisdom at 2 Corinthians 1:12, when he says we have not conducted ourselves with fleshly wisdom but in sincerity. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:18, he speaks of those who are puffed up by their fleshly mind, that is, that which is worldly. Hallelujah. That which is worldly. So the flesh is not about the physical body alone. The flesh that militates against the things of the Spirit particularly speaks of the influence of the world. And in the context of Romans 8, it is about the influence of the law on the old man. Hallelujah. The influence of the law on the old man. The law is a fleshly commandment. Glory to Jesus. And you see, this is how the word flesh is also used at Galatians 5, 16 to 17. Let's turn our Bibles there. You see that this is not the usual way a lot of people teach on the works of the flesh. You just tell people to abstain, 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 abstain. Whereas telling them to abstain in itself is promoting the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. You are going to see very shortly. Galatians chapter 5. Look at this from verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Have you seen that? He quickly brings the law into the picture. Why did he bring the law into the picture while discussing the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit? Why? Because the flesh is discussing here is the influence of the law, which is, of course, the influence of the world. Bible refers to the law of Moses as the basic principles of the world at Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. So this is the influence of the law, and this is what it refers to as the flesh. See how he mentions, see how he describes the word, uses the word flesh rather, at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, 1 to 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see again that he mentions the works of the law and he mentions being perfect by the flesh because they are the same. Hallelujah. So you find out that this is the same way he brought the law into the picture at Galatians chapter 5 while he was discussing the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit, because the flesh there is about the influence of the law. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. At Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, look at this. Paul describes this same thing as them submitting to the beggarly elements of this world. Galatians 4, verse 8 to 10, Bible says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. So he refers to the law as weak and beggarly elements. Glory to Jesus. And this is the same thing he refers to as the basic principles of the world at Colossians 2, 20 to 23. Look at this now. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. Bible says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things we perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. What it refers to as the basic principles of the world are the things that is, you know, that are found in the law. Because from verse 16, he already says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Glory to Jesus. So the law is described as the basic principles of the world. Laws, rules, commandments. Hallelujah. So when Paul mentions the flesh at Galatians 5, it was not merely referring to the physical body. He was talking about the influence of the law. Realize that Paul was writing to a church that had gone back to the law of Moses. Hallelujah. He was writing to a church that had gone back to the law of Moses. This means when Paul warned them against the works of the flesh, he was showing them the dangers of relying on the law, on self-effort, the dangers of relying on depending on the works of the law for perfection, for maturity. Hallelujah. Knowing fully well that the Galatians were not planning to live anyhow. They were not planning to live in licentiousness. This is not like the Corinthian church, the man that had his father's wife and was being puffed up. The Galatian church wanted to, you know, go on to perfection, albeit in the wrong direction, albeit with the wrong approach. Hallelujah. They wanted to achieve perfection or maturity by obedience to the law of Moses, by going back to the law of Moses. So Paul's caution to them against the works of the flesh was not just any kind of caution. It was caution against the dangers of the law. Why? Because Paul had said at Romans chapter 7 verse 5 that the sinful passions that were at work in us when we were in the flesh were aroused by the law. The only thing that the law was going to do for these guys was that it was going to awaken the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. It was going to awaken the desires, the passion of the flesh. Glory be to Jesus. It was going to awaken the lust that is in the world. It was going to awaken it. A desire for those things was going to come alive again in their hearts. Glory be to God. So the works of the flesh there at Galatians chapter 5 are offshoots of trying to rely on the law of Moses for maturity. The more you try to please God by the works of the flesh, by the works of the law, the more you are going to find yourself walking in the flesh. The more you are going to find yourself walking in the works of the flesh. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So this means a walk in the Spirit is therefore about focusing on faith and grace rather than on the law. Hallelujah. Are you now so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you being made perfect by the flesh? A walk in the spirit begins by focusing on the message of Christ, which is the spirit. Hallelujah. The law is of the flesh, the gospel is of the spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 refers to the New Testament as the ministry of the spirit. So a walk in the spirit begins with dwelling on the facts of the gospel. You must stay your mind on the facts of the gospel. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, let me begin to close. Colossians 3 verse 1, Bible says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He says to set your mind on things above. The phrase set your mind on actually means to draw your affection to something. It means to intensively interest yourself in something. So you must take delight in the realities that you have found in Christ Jesus. When he says to set our minds on things above, he's not referring to things in the sky. It's not things you can gaze at in the sky. He's just referring to things in Christ. That's why he says where Christ is sitting, things above where Christ is sitting, things that are your realities in Christ. So we dwell on these things. We stay our minds on these things. And this is where a walk in the spirit begins. Hallelujah. You must meditate and think on the realities you have in Christ every day. You must always occupy your mind with the reality of who you have become, what you have, what you can do in Christ every day. This is where a walk in the spirit begins. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Colossians 3, the same Colossians 3. Look at what it says at verse 9 and 10. Glory to Jesus. Verse 9 and 10. Bible says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. How is the new man renewed? Is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Hallelujah. So the knowledge that changes that man, the knowledge that has effect on him, is the knowledge that is according to the image of him that made him. Knowledge according to Christ. Hallelujah. The knowledge according to Christ. So you want to walk in the spirit? Fill your mind with the knowledge of Christ. Fill your mind with the realities of Christ. Fill your mind with your realities in Christ. Fill your mind with your realities in Christ. The forgiveness you have received, remission of sins, your justification, your sanctification, reconciliation, propitiation. Hallelujah. The anointing you have in him. Glory be to God. The authority you have been given in Christ Jesus. The power that is resident on your inside in Christ Jesus. Let the truth of Christ pervade and prevail in your thoughts. Glory be to God. This is where the walk in the spirit begins. Hallelujah. Then this births a passionate prayer culture. The man that knows himself is able to pray as he ought to pray. Glory be to God. We'll continue from here tomorrow. We'll continue to look into the word of God to see the facts concerning our sanctification in Christ Jesus. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, your relatives, family members, hallelujah, colleagues, classmates, schoolmates, anybody at all. And let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. And see you in the next episode.